You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and the Dog Bowl in Berea. And if you want to stay connected to your Browns anytime and everywhere, listen to this show at your leisure. Download the Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads to get the latest news, videos, and photos straight from the team to your device. It's the Browns mobile app in the Apple or Android stores. Joining us now, live in studio, senior staff writer Andrew Gribble from ClevelandBrowns.com. Andrew, welcome back. You spent time down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. What were your takeaways down there in Mobile?
Well, you know, I think overall it was a good, solid group of players. But, you know, in hindsight, when you look back at the, you know, the Mel Kiper rankings, I know it's early and they're probably going to change a lot. You know, just not a ton of first-round talent there. I think that was maybe what we kind of went in expecting. But, you know, it's hard to maybe see a couple guys who maybe boosted their stock because of this game into that first-round discussion. I think a couple of the first-round players that going into it, I think a guy like Danny Shelton maybe solidified himself, maybe moving up into the top 10, which is maybe something Browns fans don't want to hear. But, you know, he had a very good week and is, you know, came in with high expectations and delivered. But, you know, I just think this is these guys that go to this game, their names you're going to remember hearing on day two and day three. And I think that, you know, some players maybe moved up from that kind of that sixth round discussion to fourth round or fourth round to third round, stuff like that. But, you know, it really all comes together next month at the combine when you start adding in all the underclassmen. And then on top of that, a lot of the seniors who didn't play in the Senior Bowl, guys like I know Brett Hundley could have gone to the Senior Bowl if he wanted to. Kevin White, Bud Dupree, those guys dropped out at the last second. So really a small part of a much bigger process that's going over the next few months.
Quarterback position of need for the Cleveland Browns, and just based on our little quick off-air discussions, not highly impressive down there in Cedar Bowl. Tell us all about it.
No, and I think the big thing was really coming into it, just a lack of star power to begin with. A lot of guys that – you know, we're good, solid college quarterbacks, but really are kind of in that day two, the late day two, day three discussion. The biggest name, Bryce Petty, he was okay, but, you know, he's making the adjustment from a real
system guy
to they made him run a pro-style offense, and you can see him struggling with that. You know, Sean Mannion kind of looks like the prototypical pro-style quarterback, but, you know, he struggled his senior year and just kind of slow a little bit in his delivery and things like that, and really kind of suffered at Oregon State this past year without a lot of his playmakers from the previous season. And, you know, Blake Sims was hot and cold, which is what he was at Alabama a lot of the times. And, you know, Garrett Grayson is a guy who's got some mobility, but he's not really running quarterback, but he did run a pro-style offense at Colorado State. You know, I'd say he maybe had the best week of the quarterbacks, but really, you know, in previous years, as I wrote today, you know, Derek Carr was the guy last year. He really stood out. The previous year it was Russell Wilson, and, you know, that's why those guys are on posters at the Senior Bowl right now. And I don't see any of these guys on posters at next year's Senior Bowl.
Who are three guys that you think really helped their draft stock and three guys who really hurt their draft stock down there at the Senior Bowl?
Well, you know, I think Danny Shelton, first off, just because I think he was maybe in that mid to late first round discussion maybe going into this. Now folks are starting to talk about him as a top 10 potential prospect. And, you know, he plays such a position of need for a lot of teams. And, you know, he just looks physically just dominant. I mean, he's just huge. You know, from just the whole, he's like a tree. I mean, he moves so well. And, you know, the fact that he piled up like linebacker number of tackles at nose guard shows he's kind of a special kind of player. A player I watched, and he had a vine that just went viral from the Senior Bowl, is Tyler Lockett, the wide receiver from Kansas State. You know, he's another very short receiver, but a big playmaker. And, you know, really the wide receiver position as a whole down there, was the best players seemed to be 5'10 or shorter. You know, it was just kind of, it was weird how that worked out. Not a lot of tall targets down there that played very well. You know, I'm trying to think of the defensive side of the ball.
How was Sammy Coates? Because he was a guy that people thought could maybe be a late first rounder, second rounder receiver. He's got the size.
I think he was pretty solid. He had an up and down performance of the game, but I think the big knock on him is route running at this point, because what he did at Auburn in that offense, he was running vertical routes most of the time. So I think he's got to show over the time that he can run these crossing routes, you know, work in a pro-style offense, things like that. And then on defense, a player that really just made plays nonstop was Nate Orchard from Utah. He led the nation in sacks, I believe, this past season, but people were kind of skeptical on how that happened and maybe what led to those sacks. But he was just all over the field. And, you know, the problem with him going into this draft now is where does he play? You know, he's a 255-pound defensive end who played a 4-3 most of his career. When he switched back, when they put him in kind of a hybrid role in a 3-4, he didn't do so great. He didn't make as many plays. So really, depending on the team, who's going to draft him. If he gets drafted by a 4-3 team, he's got to add about 25 pounds. And if he gets drafted by a 3-4 team, he's essentially got to learn a new position.
Andrew, now walk our listeners through, you know, the week that is there, how packed it is, and how the emphasis, you know, where in the NFL the emphasis is, of course, on the game, not so much on the practice, but it's kind of flipped when it comes to Senior Bowl, how the emphasis is on those individual drills and how they're scrutinized and the coaches being so up close and personal, as well as general managers, to evaluate the talent. And then by the end of the week, like you said, you guys were back, a lot of the scouts, it was like almost like a ghost town for the game, and it's more local fans, mobile people attending that football game.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest day, honestly, is the first one. You know, I think in terms of sheer numbers of people watching the practices, and maybe that's not fair because the players aren't even in pads on that day. They really don't even sort of know what they're doing, I guess, because they're learning, especially on offense, they're learning brand new things. They're getting moved. A lot of these players, like an offensive tackle in college, is playing offensive guard for the first time. You know, they're moving to the positions where they project in the NFL rather than they were.
But yet reports are being written on them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's their new position, which is sometimes very hard to overcome.
I'm totally aware of what we do is completely unfair to these players. I think that it's so much snap judgments, but, you know, that's the nature of the business right now. You've got every draft expert down there writing their 10 players who made money, 10 players who lost money. And, you know, really, you know, as Ray Farmer told us, it's a real small piece of the puzzle. But they really do like seeing these players practice, because really this is the last time they get to see them in this kind of environment, because the combine, they're all individual. It's all about measurables and times.
Sure.
And then pro day is basically, you know, it's as if you've been working on your resume for like 5 months. It's like your best possible appearance. And I think coaches know that and weigh it with a grain of salt.
Let me ask you this, Andrew. When you got to spend a lot of time, obviously, with Ray Farmer down there, what were some of your key takeaways from talking with him? And I know you have an article coming up about what he looks for in quarterbacks and defensive linemen.
Yeah, you know, they're confident in their approach, and I think they have reason to be confident, especially at the Senior Bowl, because of what they took away from it last year. You know, with Betonio Kirksey and Desir all coming from that game, all being players that they look forward to having next year and kind of growing into even bigger roles. But, you know, I think that I asked Ray, you know, what do you do differently now that you're the GM than you did as the assistant GM? And he said nothing at all. So I think he's comfortable with the scouts he has on hand. I think, as he's talked about at the end of this past season, he's got the guys on board that he really feels comfortable with. I think last year he was thrown into a difficult situation a couple months before the draft with some old evaluations that maybe at this time this year he doesn't necessarily agree with as much. But he's surrounded by guys he trusts. And as we wrote about, you know, each day he's there at the practice. You know, he's not really he's looking at a specific position group each day. And really focusing in on that, because if you try to just watch the practice as a whole, you're not going to take away much from it. But he's watching every little detail of, say, the one day I was there. It's offensive lineman and defensive lineman, and then kind of coming away with it and then comparing his notes with other scouts who are there, who are also just looking at that specific position group.
Do you think there was value there at those positions, that, you know, for a Ray Farmer who may address a certain position in the first round, because we understand, you know, of value, what a first round pick can do for teams, as we see what seems like everybody else do. But yet, as you said, mentioning Kirksey and Desir and those other guys, you know, you hit in those later rounds, you got significant contributors. Are there any guys that you can identify that meet the Browns that kind of Ray Farmer had that little twinkle in his eye for down there at Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of them. And, it's weird. A lot of the players I interviewed, they you know, when I asked them why teams should draft them, a lot of the things they brought up on their own were stuff like accountability, being smart and stuff like that. It's almost like this, like, play like a Brown type thing is like seeping through with other teams, and like they're noticing, you know, players. You can be a great player on the field, and then you deal with stuff off the field. And I think that they know that, especially at like a wide receiver position or even defensive lineman, they know that the margin of error is very thin. And I think they know that the separation at that position right now is also very thin. Like, it seemed like all those wide receivers all looked like second, third, fourth round guys. And they know that it's like little things that teams fall in love with in the meeting rooms is what's the difference between a couple extra million dollars in their contract based on where they're drafted.
Did you get the sense that the Browns were really looking at wide receiver down there? And then obviously I'm sure you've heard the Josh Gordon news over the weekend. What are your reactions to that?
Yeah, I think that it's hard to say if they're looking at a specific position. But, you know, just as an example, I asked a player like Tyler Lockett, did you talk to the Browns? And he said yes. You know, but a lot of these players talk to the Browns at some point during, during the process. But, you know, Lockett's a player, obviously, that there's a lot to love about him. He talked to me about how he idolized Andrew Hawkins. He watches YouTube clips of him. And, you know, because he's a small receiver and there's ways to – there's different ways to get open, and he was a guy that really impressed at this game, and he talked to me at length about just how, you know, they're getting whatever team drafts him is getting just a good guy in general and things like that. So he, you know, I think that's a player that clearly he said he talked to them. That's one of the players they talked to, but clearly they talked to about probably 70 or 80 guys down there.
So how does that interaction work between kind of like the players and a team?
Well, I think they have the way since Phil Savage took over this game, apparently it's become much more organized. I think they have organized meeting times. Sometimes we're on the field for interviews and they'll be getting grilled by a scout on the field after practice. So, you know, they'll step away from an interview with me and then start answering really important questions on the field. And, you know, some of the questions are kind of crazy. I saw one of the writers for the Eagles tweeted out that he overheard a scout asking a player how many weeks are in a year. That was a question that they asked him on the field, and apparently the player answered 54, and the scout said close enough. You know, so you overhear them asking questions. Do you have a girlfriend? What's your family? This is the introductory phase of these meetings, and that's why I think guys that interview well at the Senior Bowl have a great advantage at the combine because you already have that relationship established with the team, and then when you go in, it's almost like that instead of a first interview in the combine, which I think you're running a lot more on fumes, you're a lot more tired at the combine, you're in a more comfortable situation at the combine, you're not as overwhelmed by it than maybe a lot of these underclassmen are.
And I have been to the Senior Bowl, so I know a lot of what you're talking about, you know, coming off an undefeated season at Ohio State. I was exhausted at the Senior Bowl and ready for a break, and I was looking to enjoy the All-Star game, not be evaluated the All-Star game. But the one thing that I know that I took, and this is kind of part of what you're talking about, is some of these general managers, coaches, having those conversations with you, saying, I like this about you, but you need to work on this, this, and this. And it kind of gives each of these players, the guys that they actually see value in, an opportunity to go home, do their homework, not only get faster, do the bench press, and be able to run well, but positionally, you know, opening the hips, some of their footwork, and give them their homework so that the next exposure they have, which will be their pro day, the combine, whatever it may be, they'll see an improved athlete. Is that some of what you saw and we're talking about?
Yeah, you know, I agree, and I think that these weeks between the Senior Bowl and the combine – for a player are some of the most important weeks of their entire career because, you know, I think that we all know some of the silliness that goes on with the combine. Like, you know, who cares about a 40-yard dash for an offensive lineman because they're never running 40 yards straight ahead on one play. But at the same time, it goes into your work ethic. Did you work really hard over these few weeks to pass these tests? I think that goes into it. They obviously understand, you know, some people have some natural shortcomings. You know, no one was giving Tom Brady grief about his 40-yard dash time. They obviously know, you know, that's not the strength of his game. But I think the key is working how they work really hard, how they impress, and, you know, combine what they did at the Senior Bowl on the field, what they did off the field to work ahead for the combine, and that gives you an idea on what kind of player you're bringing in.
Almost those character type issues, you know, and how dedicated you are to the sport, because if they're investing in you, you know, you want to get that investment in work and sweat equity, I guess, that they want to see you. You want to be enamored with being a professional athlete.
Yeah, and there's no excuses. Yeah. There's no excuses at this point in time. You know, all these players have good agents. They get hooked up with great strength and conditioning coaches. They're being trained specifically for these events. And I think that, you know, teams understand, you know, there's no excuses to kind of showing up unprepared for an event like at the combine. I'm always kind of blown away by there's always a player or two that shows up out of shape, and it's just like, what were you doing?
How can you do that?
You know, you're basically going into being sequestered for the next month, and your job is to work out.
You'd be surprised what guys will do who have just in undisciplined nature about themselves on what they'll do when they're given a little bit of free time. And you're talking guys that may be dedicated at these physical workout facilities that are like they're so meticulous, but there's a 3 or 4 day gap between when they leave there to fly to Indianapolis to perform at the combine, and it's filled with Chick-fil-A, multiple pizzas, Five Guys, and sitting around and playing as much Call of Duty Advanced Warfare as they could imagine. You know, in 4 days, when it's like they've been this well-oiled machine for 2 months to prepare for one day, but they screw it up in 3 days.
Yeah, I talked to Devin Smith about that, and I asked him, I was like, do you have like a day off scheduled like for the next few months? And he said, no. And I was like, you know, don't you need to rest up and stuff like that? He's like, he doesn't have time. You know, he's got to, you know, he's gone from the national championship to the Senior Bowl, and now he's got to work out for the combine. And, you know, he said he's looking forward to maybe some of those days after the pro days.
That's how I was.
That's really what you can get if you're on their schedule. But, you know, he was going up against guys who hadn't played since the end of November. So it's just a weird dynamic, but as the Ohio State guys said, it was a good problem to have.
Absolutely it was.
Absolutely. Andrew, great stuff. Lots of articles going up at clevelandbrowns.com on the Liberty Ford Road to the Draft. You got some takeaways from the Senior Bowl related to the Browns. Ray Farmer detailing how he evaluates college defensive linemen and quarterbacks. I thought that was a very interesting read. So lots of stuff to look at. Andrew, keep up the great work. Appreciate you being with us.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we'll talk a little bit about the Pro Bowl last night. Andy Dalton, what a scintillating performance he had down in Arizona. We'll also hear from the three Browns who played in the game, Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden, and Dante Whitner. That's when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Some days I'd rather be a no-show late.